I love my morning coffee, but sometimes the crash hits harder than the caffeine. That's when I switch to Everyday Dose, coffee with benefits. It's real coffee infused with mushrooms, collagen, and nootropics, giving me smooth, focused energy that actually lasts. The Black Friday sale is on. Get 61% off your first coffee plus starter kit, a free A2 probiotic creamer, and over $100 in free gifts. Enter for a chance to win $100 cash or even get your entire order refunded. Head to everydaydose.com/podcast or use code podcast at checkout.
Oh, what are you doing? I'll tell you what you're doing. You're listening to the Elder Scrolls Lorecast. Either you are, or I'll be skipping rope with your entrails. Ta-ta.
This podcast is brought to you by our patrons at patreon.com/Elder Scrolls Lorecast. Robots Radio. Games. Lore. Stories. Community. Just press play. Welcome to the Elder Scrolls Lorecast, the podcast where we explore the amazing universe of the Elder Scrolls. Adventurers, welcome back to the Elder Scrolls Lorecast. This is your host, Tom, or Robots, and I'm here with Lotus of Doom. And Lotus, it's been a few weeks. We banked some episodes because I went out of town and all that stuff. But we're back live doing a show again.
It's happening.
That's crazy.
All during the start of QuakeCon as well.
Yeah, QuakeCon's going on. Do you remember how to podcast? Because I don't.
Certainly not. We actually only had one episode of Tales in the period of time as well, because then I went to the beach for an entire weekend, so we only had one episode. So no, I've forgotten everything. I have no idea how to podcast anymore. It's all over.
All right, well, we'll just have to do our best then. Welcome back, everybody. We are digging back into Daedric creatures, and we're just going alphabetically through them, and some of them have Daedra in the front of the name, some of them have Dade something, and so we're going to cover the next four, which all include Dade or Daedra in them. And it's going to be good times. I've been having fun going over these because they're all so different and interesting, and it's kind of fun to just list them all out. So we're going to continue with that. So Lotus, we're kicking this one off with some of these are more detailed than others, right?
Yes, we seem to kind of have a good mix so far. My camera's all screwed up.
you're slowly slipping off the screen.
Just my head. just disappearing. For anybody on the non-video version, this has no idea what I'm talking about. But yeah, it's always a mix of whether we're going to have a bunch of information on the creatures or if they're kind of just like, jumping too far ahead, but a Daedrat or something.
Or a Daedmite. We're going to start with Daedmites, which are... Okay, so here's, as usual, we're drawing some of the information from the UESP. That is our go-to wiki for this stuff. There are multiple wikis, many different places you can go. Sometimes we cross-reference things. The quotes from this episode coming from UESP, go check them out. They're our buds. They're awesome. They deserve
your support. More sources are always good, but I might be partial to the UESP just from, you know, us running the podcast over there.
You know, in cooperation with them. But exactly. Here we go. The a Daedmite is a type of Daedric vermin, creatures similar to pests on the mortal world. Daedmites are considered particularly unpleasant to speak of. That's not much of a description. That's not a whole lot to go on.
Perfect.
Yeah. So we do have a description, though, of Daedric vermin. This comes from Denizens of Apocrypha. This is one of the in-game books that just was released with Necrom. And this happens whenever there's new releases for ESO. We get new books in the game and we get new things to quote and new information to pull, which is exciting because sometimes that means we can go back and learn more about something we've already covered. Well, this one talks about the Denizens of Apocrypha, of course, one of the Daedric realms. And in Apocrypha, there are Daedric vermin. There's a whole section of this about it. And this is what it says. It says, spending an hour strolling about Cypher's Midden, and you'll encounter everyday vermin that are similar to the pests of the mortal world. At first glance, anyway. Deadrats or Daedrats, which we're going to mention in a little bit.
Yep, and coming up next.
Yeah, and Fiendroths appear to exist in all corners of Oblivion, scuttling about and scavenging in much the same way that rats and insects plague Nirn. And then it goes on to describe the Tome's Shell, which is something we'll cover in the future. So I don't want to go too far into something else. But what this tells us is that there are vermin, and vermin means things like rats, but it also means things like insects. So in the world of Daedric Princes, in the realms of Oblivion, there are bugs, is basically what we know.
That's a good way of putting it. There's bugs.
There's bugs. There's, and I guess it makes sense because there are biological creatures that live in these worlds. Bugs in our own world seem to kind of be scavengers. They kind of, they eat and they consume and they multiply and they do all of those things at the bottom of the food chain or very close to the bottom of the food chain. So it makes sense that there would be something to fill that spot in a world with other kinds of creatures and animals.
Sure.
So that's all we have to say about them. But
is the other thing that's just kind of worth noting on these ones, because this is less common, even on the ones with very minimal information. There's literally not even one of these in game. Like, this is solely discussed in the lore. Like, so you can't even get a visual representation of these in game yet. Which is not usual. I mean, we've got some weird things, sometimes super pixelated, sometimes, you know, whatever. This is solely what I think a Daedmite looks like compared to what you think it looks like. There is no, even this situation is a gray maybe just around what they visually look like, because we have no canon version of their appearance just yet.
Right. Are they insects like what we would expect? Do they have like 6 legs or 8 legs, or are they something completely different? We don't know.
Right. Do they look like those little mites from Minecraft? Who knows?
Maybe there's just Minecraft creatures living
there's
in a
little Minecraft.
Maybe Minecraft
mites.
Is a realm of Oblivion.
Look, if we've learned anything from our weird crossover episode we did with Benefactor from the Imperial Library while you were gone, there is totally a Minecraft crossover.
There could be a chance.
Exactly. You're saying there's a chance.
They're saying there's a chance. Now, alphabetically, which is kind of odd, Daedrats follow Daedmites, and they are a type of vermin. So we're going to cover the other type of vermin right now on the second creature of this episode. According to the UESP, Daedrats are Daedric vermin from Oblivion, resembling large, ragged rats with glowing blue eyes that sometimes speak into Nirn through Oblivion gates or portals. Some Dremora consider them cute, despite the fact that Daedrats are considered vermin. So if they catch them, they kill them swiftly instead of torturing them.
It's so cute. Murder it immediately.
Like, oh, don't torture that one. It's cute. Just kill it quickly.
Just really crush it fast. So.
Right. And then it goes on and says, like they do to loose banekin, which I suppose they think are cute, or at least some have more value than, and they don't need to be tortured or whatever. They are fed on by some vampires, such as the Blood Mist clan. Their meat is largely gristle, so not
delicious.
Worth eating, and highly enjoyed by Ogrim when rancid.
Even better. So nice fetid Daedrats. Now, there's your delicacies.
Yeah, but is known to upset dogs' stomachs in even a fresh state. Now, Daedrats, they show up everywhere. They're one of the types of vermin. They're multiple different places in Oblivion. There's different variations of them. They don't necessarily have glowing blue eyes. Some of them look a little bit more ferocious, or they glow with like red colors, or they're ghost versions. And, you know, ESO has expanded a lot of these things in lots of different interesting ways.
Generally, just think of an eerie, creepy, evil rat and you get a good idea of it. Otherwise, they just literally look like stressed out evil skeevers.
Skeevers are the rats of Tamriel,
right?
So,
which is weird because also, without getting super off track, which is weird because skeevers kind of were, like, for the most part, the rats of the Elder Scrolls, except There are also rats if you go back to the older games, because they like didn't come up with skeever yet, so they were literally just rats.
Yeah, I would imagine so, skeevers are just like really big rats though.
Yeah, right?
Like we don't have rats. Skeevers, but we have rats. They have right. rats, and they're the same size as our rats, but if skeevers are the size of
the
like
rats
dogs.
In Arena and Daggerfall also have like red eyes. They almost resemble more of a Daedrat than a
Toxic in chat says New York has skeevers. All right. Maybe that's true. Cool. OK. Speaking of very interesting rat like creatures, Daedrats, there is a specific Daedrat that shows up in ESO that we have to talk about.
Yes, we do. And I'm really glad you thought to mention this, because once you put this in the notes, it's like, oh my God, that would have been a travesty to overlook.
Well, I was reading through the like the wikis, and even the one on the UASP, somebody needs to update the wiki for Daedrat and include Arox the Mutilator, because yes. he's a Daedrat, or at least he's in the physical form of a Daedrat.
His form is, yeah. Right. His punishment form, without going into spoilers from the Deadlands, that's he's basically taken out of his very impressive Daedric form otherwise,
which we don't know what it is.
We
know. Okay, so here, this is what's so cool. We know that he was the overseer of the Blood Pit. He was a very powerful leader among these Daedra, and maybe a Zivali, maybe some other form of like anthropomorphic Daedric creature.
Sort of, you see him get a bit cranked out at one point, and he resembles, I my assumption would be that's what the model is, but when he runs amok before he's basically just entombed again in his Daedric form, he almost looks like a Daedric Titan. So it's enormous when he briefly gets to help you run amok on the siege,
right?
But like, then,
but I wasn't sure if that was his original form, or if that was just him.
I'm not sure if that's
like
just exactly
manifesting like super big power for a moment in this huge body.
Right. And then again, he goes right back to being a Daedra because it's not a permanent cure to his curse.
Right. Now, maybe we could assume that that's what he originally was, because he talks big. He likes people to know that he is Arox the Mutilator, even though he has a little tiny voice.
And his voice also hysterically does not match his form. It's just, it is all around fantastic.
Right. And his dialogue is great, because
it's so good.
Well, he ends up working for you and you become his master. And he's very respectful. I mean, he's still a Daedra, and he still is totally cool with killing and mutilating and doing all of those things. But he's very respectful to you in the way that he interacts.
It is funny, because again, where you can have these binding contract with Daedra, and it kind of forces them to do what they need, like to obey, even if they don't want to. It is really funny, because to your point, he becomes indebted to you in the story through, you know, various means. And like you said, he always acts in a respectful manner to you because he owes you.
Right.
But it's funny because he will slip up sometimes and like totally let on that it's like, if I wasn't in a contract with you, you are worthless scum and I can't stand you. And it's like, oh, no, that's not what I meant. I totally appreciate you for what you're doing, and I would be happy to. He's definitely a fan favorite for a reason.
Right. Yeah. Because I mean, he's like, oh, you're immortal. I could just destroy you.
Yeah.
But I'm bound to you right now, so I'm going to be nice. So he says things like
a lot of comic relief to that expansion.
Yeah.
Which was rather grim outside that.
It was really good. Like, sometimes the writing is a little overly redundant because they need to clue people in on stuff. And
sure,
I've had my complaints before, but sometimes they have characters that I'm just like, oh, this guy's great.
Yeah, totally nailed it.
Yeah. So he says things like, so before you release him, he says, you're kind of negotiating with him. He says things like, Arox the Mutilator is a dead rat of his word, at least currently. Release me and I will do anything in my power to aid your cause. You do have a cause that needs aiding, don't you? And then when you release him, he says, sweet freedom at long last. Arox owes you for this kind indulgence. Like, he uses words like indulgence or... go ahead.
It's funny because it's funny, too, because like, to your point, he's screaming it all the time, too. Like,
right.
he's just
yelling.
Enraged, like barbarian. And it's just everything is yelling.
Yeah. Your pack is perfect, master. And I found the encoded note. I will work on translating it forthwith. He uses the words like forthwith. You know, he's great. He's great. I hope he's one of those characters that comes back in future episodes.
I would love. Yeah, it's why, because a lot of the recurring characters, I know they're fan favorites and stuff like that, but I've mentioned before, I don't find a lot of times the characters are the draw the same way that I think the land and the situations are the draw to me in the series. Yeah. But sometimes they do nail it just like so perfectly. And I mean, everybody relates to different characters, but Aerox is just 5 stars. Definitely would like him to come back for some reason at some point.
And these kinds of story elements are part of what makes the Elder Scrolls games, and not just ESO, the Elder Scrolls games, and a lot of the stuff Bethesda does, so right. charming and fun, is that they're like, okay, what if we take a big, scary Daedra and we put him in the little tiny body? he has to work for
right.
you. What would that look like? And then you end up just having to go through with it. And it's great. It's great stuff. So that's Aerox the Mutilator. We're not going to go into the quest line stuff. That's for you to play through. We might want to devote an entire episode to some of that in the future, but that's not right now.
That's not for now.
But like, the one thing that this really does kind of illuminate for us is this idea that the Daedra see the Daedrats as being a very low quality of life kind of being. Like, on the scale of types of Daedra, they're real close to the bottom. That's why he was bound in this form, is because it's a punishment. So that's Aerox the Mutilator. We've got two more to get into on this episode, but first, we've got a ton of new patrons that we have to shout out. So we're going to take a quick break, we're going to go thank them, and then we're going to come back and talk about more Daedra creatures. So don't go anywhere.
It's that time. Holiday shopping is here, and I've got something to help you out. Uncommon Goods takes the stress out of gifting with thousands of unique, high-quality finds you won't see anywhere else. And that's legit. How many different stores can you find exactly the same products and you just are shopping for whoever has the best deal? No, this is a place that has high-quality, unique, often handmade or made in the US products by independent artists and small businesses that truly create one-of-a-kind gifts for all sorts of different seasons, and it's the holiday season. Well, get this. I found one that I thought was super cool. Now, my wife loves puzzles. She loves mysteries. She loves escape rooms. They have murder mystery jigsaw puzzles where you use the puzzle to solve the mystery. There's a few of these, and I think I might pick up the clairvoyant convention one. I think she'll love it. And that's just one example. They've got gifts for moms and teens, book lovers, history buffs, diehard football fans, foodies, mixologists, gardeners. There's something here for everybody on your gift list. And they give back $1 to a nonprofit partner of your choice with every purchase. They've donated more than $3.1 million to date. So don't wait. Cross those names off your list before the rush. To get 15% off your next gift, go to uncommongoods.com/scrollslore. That's uncommongoods.com/scrollslore for 15% off. Uncommon Goods, we're all out of the ordinary.
This is Hamish Morak, Dragonborn, and you are educating yourself to the Elder Scrolls Lorecast.
So, Lotus, we've been kind of on vacations and stacked some episodes. It's been a little while since we've done this. So it's normally...
I didn't think to get the list.
Oh, it's totally fine. Yeah. Normally, I just go back a week and I just kind of look through the list. I don't remember the last name we shouted out. So I'm just going to... Yeah. If you get a double shout out, congratulations. But there's a bunch. Thank you to everybody who supports this show. You are amazing. Here, maybe you can count as I go through this. We've got Grug... O, Theodore O, Tenson Star, Jaden H, Dayton F, Vampiro Felis, Fivig, I don't know how to pronounce that, Nathan C, scrolling up, Nicholas, scrolling, some people are changing their amounts, GW, Jamie H, Jacob P, Justine L, A Slippery Banana, wonderful name, Michael K, Kendra B, Philip R, Ben F, Antonio E, Oz, and Sheogorath's Sweet Roll. Welcome to the Patreon.
Great.
Holy moly.
So just based on that, I believe that was 21.
21 people.
New names.
I think it's been maybe 3 weeks since we recorded an episode.
I think it's been 3 weeks since the last shout out thing, because we had two episodes in your stead and then we took 1 week off.
Right, right. So thank you. Thank you to all of you.
Yeah,
thank you for being here.
Thank you to everybody.
I hope you're enjoying the ad-free episodes. Some of you will be getting t-shirts if you stick around for 3 months at that tier four tier. You'll also be able to join us at the end of the month, so you can chime in on the Discord and let everybody know what you'd like to talk about and be part of the show. All of that stuff at patreon.com/Elder Scrolls Lorecast. And also, we have to shout out our Daedric Princes. Currently, we have three of them: Jacob C., Kira C., Jacob K., Kira C., and Sheogorath's Sweet Roll is a Daedric Prince. And that's awesome. So thank you to all 126 of our current patrons. That is amazing. Also, Lotus, we got some nice little quick reviews that came in over the last few weeks. I'm pretty sure I didn't read this one. We're going to go back to Boogeyman Killer. I don't know if you remember that name. This is from the United States.
Familiar offhand.
They write, "Yes," with an extra S. "Amazing show. Love learning about random lore. Elder Scrolls is my all-time favorite. Listen everywhere and all the time. Keep up the great work."
Aw.
So thank you for that, Boogie Man Killer. I hope you're killing boogie men and not boogieing while you kill men. One of those is...
Yeah, no, the first one would be better.
Yeah, yeah. The next one, also from the United States, is Deathclaw Jesus.
This one I actually read out while you were gone.
Oh, okay. Did you read this one?
But yeah, you know what? I love this name, just FYI.
Awesome name. That's my favorite Jesus.
Very funny crossover name. Yeah.
Favorite Jesus is Deathclaw Jesus. Thank you for the review. We don't have to read that a second time, but we have two others, both from Australia, our Australian friends on the complete opposite side of the world from where we are. This one is from Philorine 512, who writes, "Great show. I started listening a few weeks ago. I have not been able to stop. I haven't been able to watch the show since I'm from Australia, but plan to one day. Thanks for all you do. Love the content." Thank you for taking the time to leave that review. That's awesome. Also, if you want to see our beautiful faces, if you can't make the live show, all of these episodes go up on the Elder Scrolls Lorecast YouTube channel, so you can always tune in there. So
it's all true.
That's a way to enjoy that as well. So thank you for taking the time to do that. Also, we've got one from Stumpy 8 and Elf in Australia.
These names are killing me.
Yeah, our Australian friends are the best ones, Zach thinks. All right, so tell me what you think about this review. It says, "Is good ear food." 5 stars. "This podcast satisfies my ear, mouths, and brain stomach.
Great.
Good listen, recommend."
I feel like I want to use that on a resume.
"I do a podcast that people enjoy with their ear, mouths, and brain stomach."
Yes, I fill up ear, mouths, and brain stomachs. Hire me.
Hire me. Hire me to do your podcast for you.
Those are amazing. Fantastic. On just as a kind of like, I guess, community style thing, since that's kind of where this is, I, because of all sorts of weird technical issues, I haven't been able to stream much myself, along with like minimal time available. But I've joined some people on their streams, and the amount of people who said that they love the podcast in other people's streams has just been like, "Oh my God, it's Lotus from Lorecast or Tales." And it's like, "I love the show. It keeps me busy at work," and stuff like that is really, really nice of everybody. I'm so glad people enjoy the show as much as they do. So
that's awesome. That's awesome. Yeah. Well, very cool. Thank you for shouting out the show in other places.
Yeah, I was going to say, thank you everybody for, you know, when you mentioned that, it's quite uplifting to know that everybody enjoys the show so much. It makes it so that it's all, you really don't ever want to miss an episode when you know everybody enjoys it so much.
Right. It's also hard as a content creator. It's one thing to get constructive criticism, because that helps. Like when it's meaningful. Absolutely. And like in like positive and intentional, like, you know, "I really like the show, but it would be better if they did this." That's great. Absolutely. Like, that's totally awesome. You know, sometimes you take a little bit of an ego hit, but in the end it makes things better, and that's good. Sometimes people on the internet are just rude, and then that's just a
well,
bummer.
Yeah, that's the problem with just not being constructive. When people actually have something they would like changed, I always appreciate that, because I wouldn't know otherwise.
Right. Yeah.
Like, sometimes I just need to be made aware of something.
But anyway, but thank you for all the support, everybody. And we couldn't do this without you. Anyway, let's move on. We've got more Daedra to talk about. Here we go.
You're listening to the Elder Scrolls Lorecast, dear child of Sithis. That is why the Night Mother loves you.
All right, we're back. Lotus, we've got another one of those lesser detailed descriptions of creatures. So when I say Daedric horse, what do you think of?
Well, much in the same vein as a Daedrat, where it's like, it's probably a rat and it looks demonic. I'm going to say it's a horse and looks kind of demonic.
You're absolutely correct. That's about it. According to the UESP, Daedra horses are a type of Daedra resembling fiery, glowing red horses covered in black tattoos. Usually hostile, the beasts possess a flaming body and leave behind fire salts when banished. Instead of hair, the creature's tail consists of several spiked flails. Daedric horses are used as mounts by the Dremora of the Deadlands, although they can also be summoned into Tamriel. And there's a related Daedric horse here, the Nightmare Courser, which we will save for a future episode. But
yeah,
that's about it. It's kind of like a Daedrat in that, like, you're like, oh, it's a creepy looking, demonic looking rat. Well, there's horses too. Now, which this raises the question, both of these, which came for first? The Daedric version or the mortal Tamrielic version?
And also, I have other questions, which we really don't have answers to. So, you know, if anybody has any great theories, I'd love to hear your headcanon to this. But, like, are they just created? Like, do they just form with tattoos, or do they need to get tattoos put on them? Like, do they go to the local Daedra tattoo artist to have them tattooed on? Horses care if they have specific tattoos? Also, what is a flail tail made out of?
Flails. Spikes. Just spikes. It's a tail with spikes at the end.
I just mean, what is it? Is it bone? Is it's producing metal?
It's made out of horse. Duh.
It's just point horse.
It's just pointy horse part. That's how that works. Yeah. Also, they seem to usually have armor and like saddles and stuff on them. I don't think they grow those parts, but we don't really know for sure.
Those are placed on.
But if the tattoos might be part of the actual creature, then maybe the armor is like plates that just kind of grow out of it.
They just grow domestication.
Yes.
So that they can be.
Well, maybe the straps are added on, but like the actual armor plates themselves might be just like hard, like scales. I don't think this is the case. I'm just throwing this idea out there that it's hard to tell where the creature begins or ends, you know, but
yeah,
they just additive, grow domestication.
Just like they're just designed to be domesticated. They just really want to help out other Daedra to get them around.
Yeah. Like, yeah. If I was to throw out a theory here, it's that the creatures in Tamriel came first, and then the Daedric versions of them were made as some sort of like dark mockery of the creature.
I could see something like that. I could see something along that line. Or a lot of times the way things are crafted in response to a need for something, like where a lot of the Daedric princes have Dremora that are tending to be under their service more than others. Maybe one was just like, yeah, our minions are too slow. Like, our golden saints don't get around fast enough. Get them some Daedric horses.
How do those mortals get around faster? Things called horses. Let's make one of those.
We need an evil version of that.
Right. We must make some evil horses. But like Daedric Titans are a mockery of dragons.
Right.
There are other kinds of Daedric creatures that are very specifically designed that way. So maybe the more mundane ones are also.
Yeah, it's not a corrupted version of something that's just kind of spawned into having multiple versions of it, as opposed to, you know, just the one that was corrupted. Who knows? But yeah, it is just this one's a little goofy.
Yeah, some of them are a little goofy. Yeah. Speaking of goofy ones, let's move on to our last one. When you think about giant monsters with alligator heads, you probably think of the Daedroth, because
yes,
that's what they are. And they've been around a long time. like yeah. way back in Daggerfall, we have big old alligator looking Daedra people walking around with axes and stuff. And these show up in ESO. They show up pretty much everywhere.
Yes. I remember back with Morrowind, which was where I picked up the series originally. I was very confused why there was a giant pseudo alligator man just beating the crap out of me when I woke up sometimes. Like if I would sleep outside, it would be like, oh, you know, can't rest nearby enemies or whatever. And I'm just like, that's a really jack dude who's an alligator. What is happening? And yeah, it's just they same thing with Oblivion. They became a little less alligatory and a little more creature-ish. I mean, they resemble an alligator quite a bit still, but they literally looked like alligators in Morrowind and Oblivion.
Yeah, and they're skinnier. Like all the creatures in Morrowind had like these skinnier limbs. They were like the design aesthetic was a little bit more emaciated.
Yeah,
if that's the right word.
Spindly,
maybe that's better. But by the time you get to Oblivion, they're kind of beefy and kind of thick again. They look a little bit more formidable. And then in the rest of the series, they're all kind of they're stocky, right? Even though they're tall, they've got like thick like tree trunk type legs and arms, and their mouths aren't the whole focus. But in Morrowind, they very much are just kind of like a skinny alligator man.
Yeah, it's just I don't know. They're much more generic than some of the others, but I also find them to be just like a real staple of like thinking of Elder Scrolls creatures. Daedras, for some reason, always stuck with me just because they're weird.
They are weird. And I think there's just something about taking on a like a anthropomorphized creature, like a scary, dangerous creature and making it humanish. That's just kind of disturbing. There's something about that.
Yeah.
But here, we haven't read out the article from the UESP yet. So
yeah, there's actually a little info on this besides our meandering about in discussion.
Some actual facts. Here we go.
Yeah.
Daedroths are crocodile. I keep saying alligator, but
yeah, and they actually, it's kind of funny. Rob brought that crocodile. Up. He's like, yeah, they look a little more crocodile-y to me. It's like, well, whatever.
Yeah. Crocodiles tend to have teeth that are more likely to jut up and narrower noses, if I recall. And alligators have wider noses with teeth that are more likely to jut down on the outside of the mouth. There's different kinds. Anyway, crocodile-headed bipedal Daedra associated with Moleg Ball. Of course, Moleg Ball made these and then everyone else got them too, right? This is one of those things that happens. One of the Daedric princes, usually Moleg Ball or one of the other really dark ones, makes something and then everybody else gets them eventually. They can also be found serving Mehrunes Dagon, of course. They are strong, hulking, reptilian Daedra with animalistic tendencies, but still a dangerous foe with powerful clawed arms and moderate magic ability. Though some have been known to use weapons and wear simple armor, most attack with bare claws. They have a powerful bite and the ability to spew hot flames. Some Daedroths can spit poison or shock magic. They stand roughly at the height of a mortal, if not taller, usually taller, I would add on that one.
Yeah, I was going to say, if you're walking around at like 7'5", yeah, they're probably right about your height.
If you're like a really big Nord or high elf or somebody. They can be summoned in gargantuan sizes. Particularly large Daedroths are difficult to summon and can only be controlled by those with strong will. Daedroth sacks and teeth are used in alchemy. Where's the sack on the Daedroth? I'm not sure exactly where that part comes from.
It's an earlobe.
Ah, got it. Yeah, it's like the inner ear part because they're like reptiles.
Yep, that's it.
Okay.
Yes. There's no further thought being put into this. That's it. All right.
Yeah. I love that there's the second part here of this article where it talks about the linguistics of Daedroth, because it says linguists will point out that Daedroth is also the proper singular form of Daedra. Daedra being plural, Daedroth being singular. Like, look at that Daedroth would mean look at that Daedric being right there, right? Yeah. Or if you said, look at those Daedra, that would mean multiple of Daedric beings. But for these creatures, the common usage is Daedroth singular and Daedroths plural.
Yeah, it gets weird.
It gets weird. With gets Daedra, weird. Both singular and plural being used as the generic term. So don't actually use it in the way that it would supposed to be making sense, because these things are their own creature. And so it seems like they've modified the use of language. So Daedra can both mean a Daedra or those Daedra.
Right.
That's kind of weird. Yeah,
that's very weird. One thing that I really want to just kind of throw out there for everybody, you had mentioned for the most part, they will attack with claws or whatever, and they don't really necessarily wear armor an awful lot. But it does say that, you know, they can use weapons or use armor. I strongly suggest going to the UESP if you're at all interested in weird sprite work or kind of renditions of things. Look up the physic, like that, I guess we could bring it up on stream, but like I would say go to this and look this up from Daggerfall.
The Daggerfall
They're
one.
Just straight up alligator mercenary people.
Yeah, here. Let me save the image real quick so I can just put it up on the screen.
I just thought of that. I was like, we could actually put it on this because this is really funny. It is really small. It's very small.
Kinda, almost it's, cute.
Yeah, it is hilarious though. Right, he's got a little battle axe.
There he is. Oh, he's so tiny. I have to stretch him out. So make him little. Bigger. There we go. There he is. He's just marching around with his little battle axe.
He's just marching around. There he is.
He looks like he's saying with his mouth wide open. Yeah, he's got armor and a battle axe. And
so enjoy that image for anybody watching this. It's fantastic. It's so funny.
It's very cute. Very cute. So that's the Daedroths. I mean, they're really not anything. I mean, they're kind of used as like these big intimidating creatures in an army. That kind of thing.
Yeah.
They aren't seen as being particularly intelligent, although they can cast some magic, but they're mostly just big and ferocious. It's kind of their deal. So, all right, that's going to do it for the Daedric creatures from this episode. We will continue this series in a future episode. So don't worry. We've got a whole bunch more to get through.
Yeah.
Like we're maybe almost a quarter of the way through. We're about a quarter of the way through these.
But again, it's hard because some of them are much more involved, some of them are less involved. So it's kind of depends on which ones fall into line with which ones we're going to cover, on how much there is to them, because it's definitely all over the place on how fleshed out they are.
Yeah, I also think that this gives us a certain amount of not just insight, but kind of respect for the creators of these games in the wide variety and different kinds of things that you see among the data.
Because a lot of times it's considered generic fantasy, which to a degree it is, but it's got its own spin on it. And one of the things that I've really I've long found fascinating about the Elder Scrolls, especially playing back through some of the older ones, is a lot of the older games had this foundation for what things were, but they change over the series has been around for quite a while at this point, but like they never really throw anything away. They just modify it. Mm-hmm. And when you see creatures like this, it's a real, especially when they're bizarre, like if it's grounded, it's like, okay, yeah, there's a little less variation. A horse is a horse.
Of
we're
course.
Not going to make that of rhyme. Course. No, absolutely
I did it.
Not.
I did it.
No, I said we weren't going to. But like when you get into these weird things like clan fears, where they could originally talk, or Daedros, where they were more prone to wearing armor and having a derpy little face type of thing. Like it's interesting to see that the creature that in the I love it. Here he is again. I love that he's, you know, he looks basically just like, honestly, if you were to show me that, I think it looks a little less like, oh, perfect. There, now he's dancing at the top of the screen. He looks more like what I would picture a variation of a sack seal or something like that than a Daedroth nowadays. I actually fits perfectly on my hat brim. just some have become more human, some have become less humanized and stuff like that over the years. So it's interesting just to see some of the evolved forms of them as you go through the series.
Yeah, yeah. I think it's cool to see how these change over time. And yeah. it sometimes they change in fits and starts, like just little differences over time. And sometimes it's just like they were one thing and now they're just something completely different because they just updated that.
Right.
Like, flat out.
Exactly.
So,
yeah.
Yeah, it's just how game design goes. You got to make the thing that works for the thing you're making. And sometimes you got to break a little bit of the history to do it. So,
yep.
Yep. All right. Well, that's going to do it for this episode. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in and being here. And we will be back next week with another regular episode, regular time, Thursday nights, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific. Lotus, I know you got other stuff going on. What's new? What do you want to share?
Yeah, I was
going
to say we should be recording an episode of Tales pretty soon. There's just been... Well, there's, for anybody who plays Elder Scrolls Online, one, the Zeal of Xenathar event just ended, but now because of QuakeCon, there's a 100% XP boost event going on right now. So if you're looking to get levels or whatever, now would probably be a good time to do so. Other than that, I've just been trying to jump into game whenever possible and continue work on our PlayStation Guildhall, which... Once completed, I'll do a little video walkthrough for everybody that can see the PlayStation side of stuff. But yeah, anybody in the guild and stuff like that that I've had a chance to run stuff with, my schedule's really bizarre. It's been a lot of fun. Yeah, actually getting to catch up with people and run some stuff in Elder Scrolls Online as of late. So
awesome, awesome. Do a little a little house tour, a little we'll do like one of those like home makeover like show videos.
Compared to my normal dialogue of like playing Daggerfall and swearing a lot and yelling at the classic games while they just beat me into the ground because of difficulty and confusion, apparently I have a very, I was told that I have a very soothing ASMR style when I do housing things, because I've only ever done two housing videos because I don't do a lot of housing, even though I like it. And people said that I borderline sound like a different person when I'm just like, mellow and relaxed, like reading something, like describing something. Same thing with me, like leading trials. People are like, yeah, you're like uncomfortably calm.
Like I bring out the energy in you, and then you go do other stuff and you're like, and this is where the skyline is.
Yeah, if you look, that's what carefully. I've been told. I guess it's actually kind of true. I didn't realize it until people had brought it up.
Most people are pretty like, chill when they're just like doing things and they're not.
Yeah, right. Something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's, as Rob said, use your trial voice.
Is that what your wife says on those romantic evenings?
Let's use it. Look, will you just use your inside trial voice?
Please? Listen, this just isn't working for me. I really need you to use that trial voice. You know how I love your trial voice.
Love your trial voice. Well,
tell me about the housing. Tell me about the housing.
So, yeah, apparently I have two tones. The classic tone where I'm mad all the time, and then the organized thing where I don't want other people to freak out. So apparently I get unnervingly calm or something like that. So I've learned. Okay. Well, little did I know.
That's good to know. That's good to know. Yeah. Go check out Lotus's stuff. Lots of cool stuff to check out, especially if you're into ESO. And if you're looking for other podcasts or anything on the network, robotsradio.net is the place to go see it. You can find my shows. We've got Starfield launching in just a few weeks. The Starfield Lorecast is up with a bunch of the latest news and stuff. So you can go check that out. And that's going to be diving into the lore and a bunch of gameplay stuff. And we'll be getting into Starfield. Don't worry. If you were looking for a source of a place to be excited with other people about Starfield, that will be the podcast for you. But lots of awesome stuff, robotsradio.net. And thank you for tuning in again, chat. Thank you for being here. And until next time, stay safe out there. There's a bunch of really crazy, weird Daedra. You got to be careful. We'll see you all next time. Bye, everybody.
See you later.
Thanks for joining us. We'd love to hear from you. You can reach me on Twitter at robots_radio or Lotus of Doom at Lotus of Doom. Also, you can join us on the Robots Radio Discord channel. You can easily just search Robots Radio Discord on Google or check the description underneath the podcast. Also, this podcast is recorded live every week on Thursday nights, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific on the Robots Radio channels on Twitch, YouTube, and on Facebook. So just search Robots Radio on any of those platforms. Come join us. We'd love to chat with you while we record the show, or before or after. Either way, just come hang out with us. And if you're looking for more information about my shows and the shows on the Robots Radio Network, go to robotsradio.net for all the information about all the shows on the network, including the Robots Radio Rocket Club, where I help both new and existing podcasters to grow their shows, build their audiences, and create the best podcast they possibly can. All of that at robotsradio.net. We'll see you next time.